Empire of the Suns.
Suns. Empire of the Suns.
Wet like on book. Wet like on book. Wet like on book.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
Turned up in the studio late night because the Suns are 1-0. I'm Kevin Zimmerman, joined by Kellen Olsen. This is the Empire of the Suns podcast. The Suns just beat the Mavs handily for the first time in, 4 years? They actually won a season opener, didn't even get blown out. Looked really good. We can nitpick some things, get into that in a little bit. First impressions from you.
Yeah, so 121-100 win. I think there were obviously things in this game that aren't going to last the entire season, or this was just an aberration, but I think there was a lot of good in this game, and just my first general impressions were Igor Kokoshkov's system slash the idea of here's Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, shooters around them, or guys who can make a play with the ball around them, works really well. There was just one specific play where Booker ran pick and roll with Ariza down the middle, spread pick and roll. Ariza's man left the wing. Ariza hit an open wing three. And wouldn't you know it, Trevor Ariza actually a good three-point shooter. Was 5 of 9 in this game, had 21 points, 8 assists, and 8 rebounds and 7 assists. I think if we're talking first impressions, the thing that jumps off the page is 35 assists. What was the official, how long it's been since they've been that high?
So they had a 35-assist game last year. I think it was just one of those anomalies where they actually played really well, and it was Jay Triano's team. But other than that, I looked back. They haven't had 35 or more assists since 2011, not even Steve Nash's last season. And this with the Suns, have they had that? So 35 is a huge number, and that's with 11 turnovers too. So you talk about not just making plays for one another, but not turning the ball over, which even Igor Kokoshkov said, I don't want to say I'm surprised, but I'm happy, is pretty much what he said, because he spent the whole preseason looking at this team and being like, you guys are turning the ball over when the offense didn't look crisp, and then you play the Mavs and it looks like that. And, you know, we can talk about what playing the Mavs means, but hey, it looked good. And I think for a first-year coach under a new system, when you need a win to give you at least credibility in your own players' eyes, even, like, I'm sure they have bought in, that's why they look like that, but when you see that they do that and you have tape of them winning by doing that, then they're just going to buy in even more.
Four players, with at least 6 assists. Ariza had 7, Ayton had 6, Kanan had 7, and Devin Booker had 7. Those were the 4 players who played at least 30 minutes tonight. For the players who played at least 24 minutes, a.k.a. like played a legitimate role in this game, Ryan Anderson had 3 assists, Josh Haxton had 3, and T.J. Warren had 1. And what I loved about this is you're looking at these guys who played these minutes. They're contributing in a lot of other places. Ariza had 8 rebounds. Kanan had 6 rebounds. 7 rebounds for Ryan Anderson. 3 of those offensive. It was just a lot of contributions from... That's the type of game where you look at a team and from one game and say, like, they're deep. Like, they get contributions from a lot of people. Trevor Ariza is not going to average 20 points. Oh, we'll get to that later. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead to the points, but there's a lot of stuff obviously in this game that isn't going to hold up. But the fact that the Suns can have a game like this where Devin Booker, yes, he takes over in the game and has 35 points, but the fact that he gets 18 and 17 from Jackson Warren off the bench, 21 from Ariza, some nights that 21 is going to be Ryan Anderson taking the 5 of 9 from 3. That was Ariza tonight. Saw some shots at Anderson on Twitter here and there by people saying, like, he doesn't look that good. I just think that's going to be his role. Some nights he's not touching the ball that much, and some nights it's going to be him taking those shots. But there were legitimately good playmaking decisions. This was just good ball movement, and I think it shows when this system works, not only do you get 20 to 25 of these assists off of just natural ball movement coming from playing within the system, but there are like the 10 to 15 assists that just come from the system itself. And that's where you can look at this and say 35 assists, how legit is it? But at the same time, my reaction is you're going to have nights like this in the system where you have 30 to 35 assists if everyone's hitting their shots. And everyone was hitting their shots tonight, including Josh Jackson was 7 of 11. DeAndre Ayton was 8 of 11. Ariza was 7 of 12. Booker was 12 of 19. TJ Warren was an inefficient 5 of 12. Usually he shoots 50% or so. That was my general impression of the game from that standpoint. Do you have anything else really to add on just the great overall performance tonight?
The defense looked solid. I wouldn't say great. The Mavericks, and you kept saying this, like their shots are going to fall eventually, and they never did, and it looked like just one of those nights for them, but that's kind of how these things go. I think they shot 43%, and it was interesting because you look at those numbers and you don't know if they can hold up, but even if they were shooting better, the Suns were leading most of the night. They kind of lost focus, especially at the start of the second quarter. There were a bunch of young guys like Okobo's run. Ayton's second shift out there was pretty bad. And then they just threw in the veterans, Kokoschkov did, and they kind of settled things. And the Suns haven't had veterans to settle things. And I don't think you can get away with putting Ryan Anderson, Tyson Chandler, Isaiah Cannon, Trevor Ariza, and name another wing, if that's Josh Jackson or whomever. I don't think that lineup's going to do well against most teams. But if it's against a second unit, you can get away with little groups like that where it's like, okay, this team is not a good offensive team, but they're just going to play solid and kind of calm the ship and get things back on track. And they did. And so the Suns led, you know, 7 to 10 points throughout most of the night. When it got down to four, Book took over. And that's a fun thing about thinking about Booker is for everyone who says, like I tweeted the Booker Andrew Wiggins comps are looking really bad right now when you talk about advanced analytics and people who've written that story over and over again. But Booker hasn't been in a position where he's having like not even a lead, but just like a close game. Like when he's in a close game, we've seen the very few times that he comes to play. And if you put Devin Booker in like close games more often, like that's going to be fun to see just him take over and do that more. Cause usually like if they're getting blown out, he's doing that. And then you say, oh, he's getting garbage buckets because they are down 20 points. But today you saw him get buckets to build that lead back up. And so I think that's what's I haven't thought of that as far as evaluating him.
Yeah, so that's where I want to start. And we're just going to kind of bounce around the entire game and the performances individually and as a team and kind of give our thoughts on like how legit this was, because this is a one game sample size. Yes. Especially in a sample size where the team shoots 54% from three. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say I wrote about it. This doesn't happen if you don't have a good head coach. That's
exactly
all.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna get to that. That's certainly gonna come up for sure because it has to. So things like them shooting 54%, some nights they will, sure, but I mean they hit 19 threes. They shot 56% from three. Hey, so much for that rough 3-point shooting in the preseason. And how worried we are. Of course, I'm throwing my own point back in my face on purpose. It's a one-game sample size. That's how these things go. 35 assists. We're probably not going to see many games where they reach the 30s. But like I said, that's going to happen. But jumping around from what is sustainable and what perhaps isn't sustainable, I wrote the thing in August, Devin Booker might be too good for the Suns to be bad. And that's specifically because of games like this where the game is up in the air. The Mavericks and the Suns both looked like for themselves at times, like these are two of the not worst teams in the league. That's too harsh of a label, but two of the not so good teams in the league. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to say these are the two bottom five teams in the league, but I'm saying that they are two
they're
of the
they're going to be in the lottery.
They're two lottery teams. That's the way I was trying to phrase
the
it.
The Mavs are not going to make the playoffs, like Charles Barkley said.
So when it's two lottery teams doing lottery team stuff to each other and you have Devin Booker, Devin Booker's just going to win that game. That's what he's going to do. And tonight was not an aberration. We have seen him time after time catch fire like this. We finally have, you were saying, and this is spot on, that we haven't had many games like this. The one that I always remember is in Philly when he scored 46, I believe. And that was a game that he just absolutely took over late. And some of the shots he was hitting late, they just kept getting more difficult. And he kept hitting them. And he kept getting farther from the three-point line. It didn't matter. They kept going in. The Philly broadcasters were just laughing at one point towards the end. They were just like, there's nothing you can do about this. And he kept having the... And he even had the three at the end, which was like the real dagger of all daggers, where he was smiling as he laughed up the court. And he's described it as just getting in his zone sometimes. He's legit, man. Like, we... talked about it in the offseason. Is he now, like, this season, can he be a top 20, 25 player in the league? And can he be an all-star? And if he can, how much better can this team be solely because of that? And this is one of those nights where, at one point, Dallas, their two most important players are Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka Doncic. They were they both did not play well. They were both on the bench. And Dallas made a run. And it was 94-90 at one point. And Dallas came back without those guys, without many of their key guys, really. And that was with Booker in. And then Booker just was like, uh-uh. Jalen Brunson ain't beating me. There's no way. So I think, obviously, this is something that we've seen time after time. And I think this is something where it's not just one night. We're going to keep seeing this. And it's obviously great to see from our perspective. And... sure, this team is not going to hit 19 threes in a game, but they are going to have nights where Devin Booker plays like this. We're going to get a lot more of them. We might get another one before the end of the week.
Let's throw another thing out there. I have a few in mind, but I'll go Josh Jackson shooting better than TJ Warren.
He was 7 of 11, but if you watched the game, or if you watched the game next to Kevin and I, you noticed our bodies moving in certain directions when he was shooting. And it was just kind of one of those things where Kevin and I would both shake our head after some of the makes went down. And it's just like, okay, that's going to go in. Sometimes that's going to go in, sometimes it's not. He hit two big threes at the end of the game where... that was confidence to me, the way he was taking that shot.
He's also really wide open, so he should take those shots.
Yeah, he was very wide open, but the way he took it with confidence, and what I mean by that is with guys like him, and I'm not looping or putting Bender in the same category as him as a player, but if he shooters like those two guys, Bender's shot will look flat or he will rush it. Jackson's will have more of a hitch, or it won't, or the rhythm will be off. Both of those he rised up right away, and I like the way they looked, and they went in. But to that point, I thought his shot selection, what it felt like he was forcing it a lot, especially in the beginning. It felt like it was Earl Watson mode, where he was just flying up and down the court, and you just need him to slow down for a second. But talk about TJ Warren shooting 3 of 4 from three.
So he said he got rid of a lot of the leg kick, and you can see that, and it looks more straight up and down, and he hit, his first three, and then, reality struck. But that's going to change his game, and today he actually didn't seem, I guess he still scored, 17? He didn't seem to get, mid-range stuff out of actions so much as he did in the preseason, so I think that'll come around. But the three-point shot's only going to help him. The fact that he's thinking about shooting it and even got off almost a heat check one was impressive, because that's good. That's change. That's listening to your coach saying you need to learn how to do this. So just him taking them is good. He's not going to make that many probably, but yeah, that might stick. I could see his three-point shot being 35%, and that's going to be good.
We have not talked about DeAndre Ayton that much.
Oh, yeah.
18 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. I thought that he played very well offensively, but I thought, and I'm going to lump these together, the point guard situation, especially in the third quarter, there were times where he clearly needed the ball when Booker was out, and he wasn't getting it. Yeah. He had mismatches, especially even when he didn't have mismatches, he had mismatches and he wasn't getting the ball. And I'm sitting there watching it and saying the point guard would see this. The Terry Rozier, DeLon Wright, Tyus Jones, Patrick Beverley, they would recognize this and they would get him the ball, because they've been point guards their entire lives and they know when the big fella needs the ball, and he needs the ball right now.
Igor said this, actually. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, so I was in Dallas's stuff and you were in Phoenix's stuff.
Igor specifically, the fun stuff at his presser was, we haven't earned credibility yet, we're a young team, and he was very nitpicky about Booker's defense, about Ayton's defense. He said Ayton's going to sit down and look over all of the missed rim protection opportunities tomorrow, and he did say that we had 35 assists and we missed a lot, especially when they would switch and have a small guy on Ayton and they just didn't see him. But you can continue. You're right. You're smart.
What?
Igor agrees with you.
Oh, yay. Good for that. The smart basketball man agrees with me, the pleb media member. So DeAndre, for me, it was weird because I think this is a different DeAndre Ayton than we expected back in June or May or whatever. But at the end of the day, he was productive. Didn't necessarily dominate the game. His offensive, there were plenty of post touches where he was clearly either settling for the mid-range jumper or he passed out. He had Wes Matthews from 18 feet out and passed out. You said to me, just put him in the basket. You just had to back down two or three times, put him in the basket. You were big DeAndre Ayton, put him in the basket. And there were a couple times here and there. And again, this is not harsh criticism. He is a rookie. This was his first game. But then looking at the defensive side, there were plenty of situations. I tweeted out, we have our first he just stands there of the season, where it was his duty to do rim protection and he was just standing in the area not doing anything. And that is something you just mentioned that the coach is aware of, and that is what we vehemently discussed in the offseason, was Kokoschkov is the type of coach to see this stuff, sit him down and point and say, I can't have you doing that, or that.
And so, you saw that too, because like, I think his first, from the start in the first quarter, he was good and solid at least in trying to recover and help. And then he even came in the second quarter after a break and was just like plotting. And I think that was when you even saw him, like, he missed a rebound opportunity and jogged back. And then for a good like 8 seconds, he wasn't really on a man or in the paint even. He was just kind of floating out by the 3-point line. And it was like, you're just, you know, it's a mental lapse that, and it didn't hurt them, but you see like brief periods of that. And that's where I wonder about fatigue. And people got mad at me when I said this in the preseason. I was like, he got gassed. He's getting gassed, and he's admitted this. Like, every interview he has is about how he's surprised how much, how good of shape you have to be in to play this game at a high level. And I think they did a good job managing that today, even though he almost got 37 minutes. So, but yeah, I feel like where I'm getting at, it's late, sorry, is his mental lapses seem to be fatigue related.
I can buy that. Like you tweeted, first quarter wasn't much there in terms of mistakes. Second quarter, there was a lot of it. And then throughout the rest of the game, I think there was enough there. Let's discuss the team defensive performance as a whole for a while, because this is where by far the most, I'm not so worried about Ariza regressing or the 54% of the 19 threes regressing. I'm more concerned that the Mavericks had 28 assists, but they only had 100 points. That's not really where it adds up. I just looked it up, and the Mavs' 28 assists tied for the fourth most by a team so far through everyone's first game. There were plenty of teams that had under 25 assists, 21, 20, 19, 18, those kind of numbers. They managed 28 assists, but they only had 100 points off of it. And to me, that showed in the Suns' defensive performance. You noted that there was a specific moment where it was a Kobo and Ayton out there, and they were just getting fried repeatedly. And then it turned into, Chandler and Kanan came back in and sort of regained a bit there. But there were clearly times where they were struggling with their rotations, and that was not just this is a young team learning how to play defense together. This is a bad defensive team, potentially. There was a lot of bad defensive team type of mistakes and hiccups. But with that being said, we did have times, especially in the fourth quarter, where I think Josh had like a really fantastic closeout, that it was a lot of recovery, 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 and then Josh had the most important closeout of them all, and he did it very well. TJ had a couple really nice plays, and I thought overall this is one of the best defensive games I've seen him ever play in his Suns career. And I thought there were reasons to believe both sides. I think there's reasons to leave this game and say the Suns aren't going to be a good defensive team, which I think is what we were expecting anyway. But I think there are reasons to leave that game and say Josh had his moments and TJ looked not completely lost out there. But I can't help but to take this to the team rotation too and look at Mikal Bridges now playing and saying, man, looking at some of these matchups and looking at nights when they're not going to shoot 56% from three and when they're struggling to have shooters out there, running lineups out there with Jackson and Warren together, you just think, man, what if Jackson or Warren was Bridges instead, and that just little bit more of shooting would help, and defense too, because Bridges, I think, is the best defensive prospect of the three. Not sure if he's the best defender right now because he's a rookie, but that's where I wonder if the adjustment will come. I don't think Bridges is going to sit the entire year. Obviously, he's going to get more acclimated and get in there. Also, coming off the elbow thing where he missed 7 days of basketball activity, so that could have played a factor as well. But I saw a Dallas team that just did not play well at all. I was in their locker room, and Bob Young of The Athletic said, we joked, and I was like, that was like a six. They acted like they lost by 60, and he said in the playoff game, in a closing out playoff game, it was that sort of letdown with their expectations and how they played. They shot 43%, but those two most important players, Doncic was 5 of 16, DSJ was 6 of 19. That was...
he looks bad.
A very bad performance from him, to say the least. J.J. Barea went in there and had 10 assists in 21 minutes to kind of prop up their offense when he could. But overall, I thought they played very poorly, and it showed in more so the Suns blowing this game out late. I think this is a much closer game than it appeared, but I also think this is a closer game with just a slightly better offensive performance. I thought Dallas was awful.
The best defense was Wes Matthews on offense, posting up Book and getting him in foul trouble and getting him out of there. I will say, off the top of my head, there were breakdowns, like if Ayton rotated or had to cover on a... he was getting attacked a lot in the pick and roll. There were a few misses from the weak side as far as helping on the roll man, like if DeAndre Jordan was rolling and Ayton was still trying to recover. There were a lot of misses there. There were, like, I think one-on-one, they weren't as terrible, though. Like, they were solid. Like,
for sure.
Isaiah's not as good of an athlete as Dennis Smith Jr., but he... dude took a lot of shots against him, but he held his own. The biggest problems were Book getting straight up posted, Ayton in pick and roll, and yeah, just weak side help. But one-on-one, I thought the effort was good. And so that's promising. Like, this is a coaching, again, where I just want simple things like effort on man-to-man defense. Can you try to stay in front of your dude? And for the most part, yeah. And I think that's good.
I think that's a good place to not end the entire conversation, but at least end the sustainability of everything and arguing what's sustainable, what's not. At the end of the day, good coaching is good coaching. The effort was clearly there the entire night when there weren't defensive rotations or anything. I don't think anyone wasn't trying. It was just miscommunication. It was a lack of instinct showing up, particularly for guys like Ayton and Okobo, who just looked really lost on a lot of their stuff and have a ways to go, which is expected They were rookies who had red flags about their defense coming out, and that's going to continue throughout their not only rookie season, but throughout their career with what we've seen from guys like TJ, for example, who have had to continue to make up for that. And good coaching is going to get you 35 assists some nights. It's going to get you really good effort. It's going to get you performances from Isaiah Kanan where he shot 3 of 10, sure, but he had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. He had 1 turnover, and the only players to turn over the ball more than once were Jackson and Warren, who had 3 each, and Booker had 3. How about zero turnovers for DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah.
He didn't really have himself in Joel Embiid situations where he was forcing it all the time, because that's where Embiid really gets himself in trouble turning the ball over. He tries to do too much all the time. And Ayton was not doing that at all, and that was great to see. And for a guy like Trevor Ariza, too, to step into this role where we made fun of it a couple podcasts ago, dude barely dribbled in Houston, and now he's got 7 assists on 0 turnovers,
he's
plus
eaten.
A team high plus 25, shoots 7 of 12. It was awesome to see him play that way. I do want to note that it was a little too easy for Luka Doncic to get around him, in particularly the first quarter, but I thought Ariza played better overall towards the end, towards the second half in particular, and that's one of those games where you can tell that the veteran presence has affected the team in a positive way. Just having a guy out there like Ariza who's not Tyson Chandler with his 12 minutes, 5 rebounds, 0 points. Nah, this guy put up 21, 8, and 7.
Yeah.
7 and 12. Ryan Anderson had an off night, but he still had 3 assists, 7 rebounds, and was out there for a lot of this. Ryan Anderson, for all the mess people want to talk about him,
is Guff the right
he way. Was he was plus 22. It's not like he was out there being a negative. I know plus minus isn't everything, but I thought that his effect as a spacer was at least there.
Yeah.
And to take it back to Kokoshkov, I think this is all revolves around good coaching. This is not a game that they win under certain head coaches like Earl Watson or even Jay Triano, for example, or even someone like Jeff Hornacek. This is something where you have a good head coach who has instilled a system into them so well in training camp in the preseason that it results in games like this where you're going to have 35 assists.
And once people scout that, and Rick Carlisle mentioned it before the game, we haven't even seen how they're going to use Booker in that offense. And the interesting part is they use Booker pretty much how they use everyone else. They draw up more plays out of timeouts for Booker, and he gets really nice, easy looks. And even if it's not for an open three, then his defender's kind of off, a step off, and he gets by him, gets a hit by him. That's all great. And yes, they're going to get scouted now, and teams are going to figure this out, and there's going to be bumps in the road. People who watch the Jazz, I tweeted something about the offense, and people from the Jazz were like, hey, it's going to take a while. It's going to be a learning curve, especially for this young of a team, but it took a while in Utah for those guys to learn what they want out of this offense. So be patient. Yeah, there are going to be bumps in the road, and I think Booker and Kokoshkov both said the same exact thing afterwards, which is always good when your best player and coach say the same thing, which was, this is a really, you know, great win, blah, 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 but all it says is we're going the right direction. And Kokoshkov said the same thing about, we don't have any credibility, we have to build our credibility, and that takes years in this league.
We're far enough into the podcast now where I don't think people will be that mad if we talk about Luka for a couple minutes. A lot of salt shakers in my mentions being mad that I would tweet about Luka. I'm sorry that one of the best prospects in the draft and the guy who I rated number one in the draft is playing in front of me and I'm tweeting about it. I'm very sorry. I apologize to you with no sarcasm at all in my voice. Luka Doncic did not play well. He was a mess. He was 5 of 16, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. A mess is a bit extreme.
That's even strong.
I would say
he's still one of their better players.
But he was still one of their better players, and he looked legit in the first quarter. And then what started happening was the step back was coming a little bit too much. We saw this in EuroLeague and saw it watching him before the draft, was that in some games he wouldn't get to the basket as much, or even just to like the elbow and the mid-range areas to set guys up and beat his man. He would look for his jumper instead and is in love with it a little bit too much. Tonight it wasn't falling. Every shot for him was short. He was 0-5 from 3. I liked what I saw overall, but it was just a rough performance. He said it after the game. He said, I played bad. He was limping after the game. He had a collision with, I want to say, either DeAndre Jordan or DeAndre Ayton. It was one of those two where he came up hobbling after and then didn't really play with the hobble, but he was limping pretty heavily after the game. And I liked what I saw, but didn't play well at all. And that's going to open up my mentions to Photoshops of Devin Booker holding a baby in his arms, and it's Luka Doncic, which made me laugh.
You also took a lot of guff, if I'm using that word right again, from like real live people. It wasn't just Twitter. But keep on keeping on.
That's been my life for the past 9 months. I'm just used to people coming up to me and saying, wow, Luka, huh? Eddie House was yelling at me throughout the game. Oh,
there's your boy.
Oh, there he is. When he had that behind-the-back pass, Eddie was sure to let me know that it was happening. Shouts to Eddie.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
He's going to be very good. There was nothing that I saw in the game where I wasn't hesitating. He was getting to the rim against a bad defensive team, it looked like, but he was getting to the rim pretty well in the first quarter, and then he just got away from it.
He's an adult man. He saw Booker was on his back, and I think Book was in foul trouble at that point earlier in the first half, and he's like, I'm taking you, and Booker backed off, and he scored, and that's the kind of stuff that's like, this kid is not wired like Dragan Bender or...
Oh, God.
That was the worst comp when people... that's like the main Luka hater thing is like, we don't want those Europeans that no one knows. No, he's not Dragan Bender even. Dragan Bender didn't even play for the team he was on in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's he's a sensation. It's what he is. He won Euro... Like, everyone knows the accomplishments and everything, but what he did at his age and what he is going to do now in the NBA is pretty unheard of for international prospects, and that's what it is, and that's why he's so fascinating to watch and fascinating to talk about. On top of the fact that he's a 6'8 point forward, which is pretty much my favorite type of player to watch, I love big men who can pass, and I love point forwards. Those are my two favorite things in basketball. So it's no surprise that I liked Luka Doncic. I apologize for nothing.
DeAndre Ayton... So going into this, DeAndre Ayton was joking about his friendship with Luka, because I asked, and it was just... They have the same agency. They're in the same agency, and he owes DeAndre $1,000, and DeAndre said he bugged Luka at halftime about the $1,000, and Luka was like, ha-ha, and he was like, no, you have a tab. And DeAndre is so with it as far as being a pro now. He even dropped I'm checking my PayPal account every day.
Didn't say Venmo. What a legend.
Like, who uses PayPal?
Yeah. People use PayPal like that.
I don't know.
I think people who make a lot more money than I do use PayPal like that.
Wire you that large... Yeah. I'd like use Venmo to give my friends like $10 for pizza or something.
Exactly. I don't think you Venmo $1,000 on ping pong, but he said he was very humble, and that was one of the things he said a lot about him, which was just something you notice. Guys don't usually say that. Humble is a word that doesn't come up too much, so it was this kid's the man in Spain playing for Real Madrid, and he's just a humble guy who likes to play some Fortnite and Overwatch, you know? That's just what he is. To kind of look forward now, I'm very interested specifically in the results of this game because the next team on the schedule is Saturday at Denver, and Denver was one of the worst defensive teams. You're looking at me like this is not correct.
No, I'm looking at... Sorry.
Oh, you're okay. Well, now I'm looking.
I'm looking at the Denver Nuggets. They won. They beat the Clippers.
Oh, because we were trying to keep track of stuff. Man, something I'll never come across is how fast time goes by, like, during games. Once you hit to the third quarter and you have to start writing
stuff. Boban couldn't take those Clips to a victory, huh?
Oh, man. They couldn't.
Almost.
Oh, man. The Clips were beautiful. And the Clips, by that I mean the video Clips of him dunking, were gorgeous. So they played Denver on Saturday, and Denver was one of the best offensive teams in the league last year. Pretty much was the best once Nikola Jokic really got rolling in offensive rating. And then their defense has been one of the worst, and they added guys like Isaiah Thomas and brought back most of their guys and didn't really shore up their defense in any way. They're just like, nah,
we're fine.
We're fine. We're fine with the second in offensive rating, 26th in defensive rating thing. We have Nikola Jokic. We'll be fine.
DeAndre guarding a completely different big is
completely
be
different.
Fun.
Who really helps Devin Booker in that area of the game in terms of managing the offensive pace to stick with them? Who else is going to help him? That's where you're going to need the ball to keep moving and guys to keep shooting, and where it sticks and where it doesn't stick, I think is key.
Do those wings keep sharing it and distributing it where they're all scoring above 15 points. Yeah.
With what we saw with DeAndre Ayton today, which was a lot of him being attacked in pick and roll, which is going to happen again on Saturday, do they do that again to Nikola Jokic, who is widely known as not a very good defender? Do they give Ayton the ball in the post to attack him? This is the type of matchup stuff and stuff we can discuss because this looks to be a competent basketball team. Thank goodness.
We couldn't even do this last year.
We couldn't even look at matchups and say, oh, yeah, this and that. No.
Do you think they'll do something different? No. Yeah. Last thoughts? You good? I'm good.
I think I'm good. It was fun. It was a lot of fun to see the Suns play this brand of basketball and an entertaining brand of basketball. I've been covering games now for, I think this is my fourth year. And when Booker went out, that was the loudest I've heard.
It was loud.
The arena for a non-buzzer beater type of situation kind of deal. Just for a general applause, that's the loudest I've ever heard in my 4 years or so. Which isn't saying much, of course, with what's happened in the past three seasons. But at the same time, decent MVP chance for the boy. And he deserved it.
Yeah. He was great.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. We'll look at that Nuggets game. Hopefully it's another good one to discuss. And then it gets really interesting, folks, because the Golden State Warriors will look to avenge their preseason defeat in Golden State on Monday. And then LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers will be coming to town on Wednesday. So we will have plenty more to discuss. Make sure to tweet us at Empire of the Suns. I'm at Kellen Olson. You're at K Zimmerman AZ.
I am.
And we'll see you guys next time.